are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 11th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Man, what a Monday. What a week we've got for you here on the station as we are oh so closer to the start of high school football, college football, NFL football. I mean, you name it, and we're right around the corner from it, man. Happy Monday. Again, we appreciate you being with us. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. We got Christian Griffin, my man in the studio, with us as well. Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
Happy Monday, man. The days continue to stack on. The days continue to absolutely fly by. We were talking about it, man. SEC Media Days was over a month ago. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to think that we've come back and have been able to break that down for a long time. Man, we are 11 days from high school football. We are 12 days from college football. We are 18 days from Auburn kicking it off in Waco, Texas. And man, this time next week, it will be game week from the standpoint of having college football. And if that doesn't fire you up on a Monday afternoon, I do not know what will. Man, we have a fantastic show on tap for you today. Auburn football continues to rise in recruiting. A name that we talked about on Friday afternoon was going to be making his commitment. Well, he picked up a hat. Well, first, the first one wasn't orange and blue, but the one he put on was an orange and blue hat. And where does Auburn move on the recruiting side of things? Also, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the blue bloods in college football, as there's some graphics that are going around of teams that are certified blue bloods, some teams that didn't quite make the cut. We're going to give our thoughts on that as well before we dive into a little bit of the AP Top 25. As that was released, we're going to compare and contrast that with the coaches poll, all before we talk about the scrimmage that happened on Saturday. A lot of people have heard a lot of things about it, some good, some not so good. And so we're going to be able to dive into all of that here on a jam-packed Monday afternoon.
SMG SMS, baby. That's what some people are hearing. Phone lines are open on this Monday. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the way to get you through to us. I know that this is really about the time that the phone lines really start to pick up with people calling into the show, people texting into the show, which you can do as well at 334-784-1067. Your thoughts from over the weekend with some recruiting things that we're going to get into. What did you think you heard about the scrimmage, or what do you want to see and hear from practice this week? We'll have a chance to see practice a couple of times this week. Hugh Freeze will speak to the media on Thursday, so give us your thoughts. 334-321-1390. We begin with a man that we talked about on Friday, whose commitment was at 6 p.m. Central Time. One of the best receivers in the class of 2026. Had several big-time offers, big-name players in as well. But Jace Matthews is the latest to commit to the Auburn Tigers. He joins that 2026 class, which has absolutely shot up in the recruiting rankings, no matter where you look.
Yeah, 6'2", 180 out of Leakesville, Mississippi. 24/7 Composite has him as the 117th ranked player in the country, the 13th ranked wide receiver, and the number 6 player in the state of Mississippi. A unanimous 4-star, but man, Jacob, we both talked about it on Friday. I would not be surprised to see that work its way into a 5-star, if not a unanimous 5-star, regardless of where you look. But man, they talk about the explosiveness that Matthews has. They say that he is best categorized as a player quicker than fast, with and without the ball in his hands. He made his commitment on Friday, stood up, picked up the Ole Miss hat, and then decided, you know what, let me toss that into the stands. And the place went silent before he picked up the Auburn hat. And man, if that could be the recruiting bump that you need, the recruiting fix of satisfaction. We talk about it a lot of how, man, the hat tosses and the flip outs and everything like that sometimes gets a little out of hand. Mm-hmm. But when you feel like it comes to Ole Miss, when it comes to Lane Kiffin, and when it comes to skill players, when it comes to the receivers, you feel like this has a little bit of satisfaction.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overall a fan of the theatrics and things, just because it got to a point where it was like, all right, you know what I mean? We've got pulling stuff out of backpacks and we're having to call in somebody from off screen to do something, or yeah, you know, just ridiculous things at times. I get it. Kids should be able to enjoy it. You only get one of these, and you should be able to live it. Yeah, you're right about that. At least live it up and enjoy the moment, because it is a special day, and I don't want to sound like the you know, the purist get off my lawn type of thing, right. But it's nice when it goes your way.
Very much so.
It's nice when it goes in the way of Auburn rather than it how it's been happening over the past several weeks and several months, where Auburn has been on the wrong side of a lot of these big-time commits. And so Jace Matthews, again, somebody that you mentioned that both you and I agree that he will be a five-star by the time that this thing is said and done. Depending on where you look, Auburn has risen in the rankings regardless. Okay, 247, which we typically go by, has Auburn as 54th overall in the recruiting rankings for 2026, bumping up by about 20 spots or so. Auburn's been floating around in the 70s as of late on 247. They rise all the way up to 54th, which, again, I know that's not where you want to be.
We are not condoning that.
I'm not saying it's okay, let's throw a Hugh Freeze a party. But this is a big-time commitment. You want it over several other SEC schools. He's an out-of-state kid. But you start looking at rivals and On3, right, which have come together, and you look at their recruiting rankings, Auburn's up to 37th on their site. So you are making progress. Now, you still have a team like Rutgers in front of you on rivals, which is not okay, but you're making progress. And that's what Auburn has needed desperately over the past several weeks and several months. And when you land a kid like Jace Matthews, people take notice of that. We talk about that so much, about the domino effect in recruiting, how one kid like this makes a verbal commitment, and yeah, you hope that he sticks with it, and I think he will. Other big-time commits who have not made a decision yet, they take notice. But the thing that we always say, you've got to back it up if you're Auburn and Hugh Freeze, especially on the offensive side of the football, which we'll talk about later in the show. You have to have a proof of concept.
And you're talking about Auburn making the jumps. And, yeah, we're not condoning Auburn. You have to click load more still to find the Auburn logo. But when you're not seeing the 80s and the 70s, you're continuing to see big-time jumps. And another storyline that's come out of this recruiting cycle right now with the Auburn Tigers is you look at the average commit, right? All of these teams have the number of commits, it has their total points, but then it also has their average recruiter ranking. And that is almost like a teacher grade type of deal. Like you see the five-star pluses that have the 99.78 on their official rankings, things like that. But all of these players get averaged out. And when you're looking at 24/7, Auburn has the average ranking with the 6-4 stars and the 6-3 stars of 89.44. It's pretty solid. It's really solid when you start diving up the list and you're seeing 84, 86, 87, 86, 87, 86, 86, 86, and all of a sudden it's, okay, well then why are they ahead of Auburn? When you're looking at teams like Utah, you're looking at teams like Duke, you're looking at teams like Iowa State, it's because of the number of commits is boosting their total ranking, their total points that you basically average out per player rather than taking the mean of your entire class. You do all of that, Auburn is 17th in their recruit average total.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the rivals one again, just I'm comparing the two. Auburn, this is their 12th verbal commit. The two teams ahead of them, Rutgers and Michigan State, they have 21 commits and 22 commits. 18 of the 21 for Rutgers are 3 stars, 19 of the 22 for Michigan State are 3 stars. Great, good for them. That's what they get. That's what they do. Michigan State a little bit better when they're better, but you get what I'm saying. It's to your point where Auburn only has 12 verbal commits in this class. And just looking at the teams around them, man, most of these teams are almost doubling the amount of commits that Auburn has so far.
It's the true definition of quantity versus quality. And yes, if you're Auburn, you would obviously like more quantity as well. But from where you sit right now, again, if you average out your team overall with these recruits, again, Auburn with 6 4-stars and 6 3-stars, you are 17th in your average recruit overall. That puts you right there with Ole Miss, South Carolina, Florida, Penn State. That's right there with that 15 through 20 type of range right now if you take those types of overalls. That's right where you need to be. Obviously, you're going to continue to make really, really big jumps. Man, there's kids that are supposed to commit in a week and a half or 2 weeks or very early into September that Auburn is making some serious noise with. And if they could commit, man, you're going to see this team really, really start to make a big-time jump. But you feel like these recruiting experts are starting to praise Auburn a little bit, and you feel like the outside noise has begun dwindling down.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to talk when someone's down, but nobody wants to say anything when good things start to happen. And look, Auburn still has not won many games. Auburn has had some kids in legal trouble. We understand all of that, but recruiting is on its way back. I will say, though, to be the, maybe not the bearer of bad news, but just the reality check here, this thing could still go in either direction. Oh, and I'm talking recruiting, the program, everything. I mean, you could continue to shoot up, you win games, you get more commits, all of a sudden it's another top 10 class and everything looks fine. Or you could lose games this year and go 7-5 and possibly fire your head coach or him be on the hot seat and some of these big-time kids like a Jace Matthews say, I don't know about this. This is not looking good for me.
That or, again, going two ways with kids that already have the word committed by their name. Yeah. Right? All of a sudden, Auburn goes 8-4. Auburn goes 9-3. Auburn somehow finds a way to make a little bit more noise than just having their name in the discussion for a college football playoff. All of a sudden, signing day happens right after that. And it's, okay, look at that school that ended up making noise. I remember that official visit that I took in June. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Let me get back in contact, man. These guys have been so good the entire time. Let me go back and let me just see what I can do. Auburn's now entered that conversation, or it's the other way around, which you're mentioning of, I'm a 5-star program, or I'm a 5-star kid, I'm committed to this program. I remember when I thought about going to that program.
Yeah, exactly. And thankfully, the vibe that I've gotten from the 12 that have committed to Auburn, just talking with our recruiting friends and things like that, it seems like the guys that are committed in this class, for the most part, seem to really be committed to Auburn. Of course, that can change with any given day and time and offer, but as of right now, of the guys in this class, so we're talking about guys like Jacquez Wilkes, right? The Wildly kid from right up the road who's just an absolute beast. Hezekiah Harris and Peyton Falzone, right? The Penn State flip out of nowhere. Like, you feel like these guys are Auburn guys who want to be here, who want this program to be good and want to be a part of what's happening here. But that can all change so fast. So to get back to the idea of what this season holds, it's more than just wins and losses. It's about what you've already built in recruiting, because you can't preach a future anymore. You can't sell it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's got to happen right now. It's got to happen right now. If you want Jace Matthews to play on this team next year, you better win this year. If you want Wilson Zaire, the offensive tackle who's 6'6", 280, to play on this team next year, you have to win this year. And that's stressful. It is. That's super stressful. But if you're one of these players, or like you said, somebody else who's already committed somewhere else who maybe has Auburn in the back of their minds, they're all going to be watching intently, and a lot of them are going to take visits this fall. A lot of them are going to be at that Georgia game and that Missouri game and that Iron Bowl. They're going to be here, and they want to see Auburn win football games, man. That's all they want to see. Proof of concept.
You have to win football games, and you're at the point right now where you can't sell playing time anymore either. Because, again, you've built such a good team to where that can't just be the, hey, just come to college and play super early. Obviously, that's going to be a part of the conversation every single time, is, well, how early can I see the field? But, man, that used to be the selling point of, look what we're trying to build. You're going to play snaps early because the talent that we have right now can't match up. Mm-hmm. We need guys like you to be able to do that. But you start having receiver success. Eric Singleton, Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson all have fantastic years. That makes guys like Jace Matthews all of a sudden even more interested. That makes the guys that aren't committed to Auburn even more interested. Oh, man, look at what these kids do. That makes transfer portal offers more interested because, man, look at what Eric Singleton did. Look at what Keandre Lambert-Smith did. Man, they went and they found Marcus Davis, which, man, shout out to freaking Marcus Davis.
Yeah, he's done a heck
for everything
of a job,
that he's been able to do on this receiver class and on the offensive side of the football. Imagine you then have running back success, and guys like Isaiah Crowell all of a sudden work their way back into the picture. You just feel like everything could work its way into place, and that's not me saying if Auburn goes 8-4, they're going to be able to get every single flip that they want, but the best way to work your way back into a conversation is to all of a sudden you go silent for a couple weeks, you know, keep up with them from a distance. It's the, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good, coach. But, you know, not anything more than that. All of a sudden, November hits. Oh, man. Auburn's 8-3 right now. Auburn has a chance to win 9 games. All of a sudden, look at what I could go be a part of over on the Plains.
I mean, I'll triple down and say the offensive line, right? I mean, man, if the offensive line in 2025 can be what Auburn thinks it can be, what some NFL scouts think it can be, my goodness, you'll add to a recruiting class that's already got, what, one, two? You've got two offensive tackles in this class already in 2026. You can triple that by putting guys in the league this year.
And then you bring in DJ Durkin's defense.
And then, which speaks for itself.
And then there's guys like Braylon Womack. Whether his commitment is with Auburn here in just a couple weeks or not, all of a sudden that works its way into the conversation. You mentioned the offensive line room. You talk about Auburn's in such a good but interesting spot with the offensive line because they've had guys from the freshman class. They've had guys that they brought in, and now they're bringing in possibly the one-year guys that can hope make a really big difference and can make their way into the NFL draft. If Mason Murphy and Xavier Chaplin have great years, that's going to open up so many opportunities for really good offensive linemen because then Auburn can sell the fact of, hey, you come here, look at the proof of concept not only in the win column but on the offensive success categories, and then look at what we've been able to do with some of these guys as they're putting on jerseys in the NFL.
Well, I'll go back to what our buddy Jack Cutton put out on X over the weekend, a post that blew up, was guys in NFL preseason for Auburn that have been making big-time plays on both sides of the football. Nehemiah Pritchett had a pick this weekend. Daniel Carlson hits a big field goal. DJ James had an interception this weekend. I know you're talking about several different regimes and things, but putting guys in the league.
Yeah, Fairweather had a touchdown. Jarrett Stidham was dropping dimes.
KLS had a touchdown. Shedrick Jackson. I mean, talking about dudes who have worn the AU logo, I don't care that it's preseason, man. You at least have a shot, right? You have a shot. And so Auburn's trying to get back into all these different recruiting battles and things, and you get up and pick up a big one on Friday evening with Jace Matthews, 6'2", as a receiver, 6'2", 182, 185, just kind of where you look. 4-star, has every chance to be a 5-star by the time it's all said and done, and he is now the 12th verbal commit for the Auburn Tigers in the class of 2026. We'll take our first break here in hour number one, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the countdown to football season, how far away we are from all of it getting started. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're back after this as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open. Give us a call on this Monday afternoon, 334-321-1390. How are you feeling today as we are, get this, folks, 11 days until high school football begins.
Golly.
We're 12 days from the start of college football, 18 days from the start of Auburn football, and 19 days from that first true week one Saturday of college football. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Tell us what you're looking forward to most. Is there a game that you want to see, a game that you just can't wait, maybe a team? What are your plans? Anything like that, you can give us a call. Or, hey, shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067.
That means we are 26 days until Auburn is inside Jordan-Hare Stadium for the first time this season.
I think that would make that 27 days until the NFL begins. Is that right? Because yeah. that first Sunday, because the NFL, well, actually, no. Before that, the NFL kicks off on like that Thursday, right? That September, whatever that is. What day does the NFL start?
Let's see.
Which, by the way, I watched some of the first I watched my first preseason games this weekend, by the way.
They have it as September 4th.
That Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's a Friday night game.
Really?
And then, yeah, Chiefs and Chargers is that Friday night game on the 5th. Are there any? There better not be any good college football games then.
On the I'm off that Friday because that September.
Oh yeah, you have back to back Thursdays,
no.
Don't you?
Oh man, I have high school. Well, I would rather be calling high school football just for the record. Whoa. But I would rather be calling high school football for the record. But that's the NFL season opener that Thursday night. That is Auburn High School versus Opelika on Thursday night.
Oh, that'll
September
be better
4th.
Than the NFL. What are you talking about?
Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt.
I'm trying to see. What was that? It was the 5th?
For what? That's for Auburn's home opener, yeah. The
just the Friday night.
Oh,
yeah, the 4th
oh,
is
yeah.
Cowboys and Eagles to kick off the season. The 5th is Chiefs and
game.
Chargers. Dang it! We're going to miss Eastern Washington and Boise State.
Oh, cancel the season.
And Western Illinois and Northwestern.
Cancel the season.
Man. Well, we're going to get to it here in just a little bit as we talk about the AP poll top 25. But you're talking about, man, it is 19 days until week one where there are three top 10 matchups that weekend.
That's going to be incredible.
That is absolutely fantastic to think about.
Well, somebody, we had a couple of texts in the text box just now. Someone said, and that again, that number is 334-784-1067. Give us your thoughts in there. Someone says they can't wait for the Clemson-LSU game. Obviously, that's a big one on opening weekend, the battle of the real Death Valley. I mean, we know which one's the real Death Valley, don't we?
We have to claim that, right? I mean, I'm sure it's been said multiple times, but we brought that up months ago. I think we should be able to claim that. That we call that game the Battle of the True Death Valleys.
Oh, you're saying you and I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'll take credit for it. Yeah, I don't think we were the first ones to say it. Which, funny enough, our...
Just say it confident.
Yeah, yeah. We came up with that. We invented Death Valley. No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of that, though, I have been wanting to get to it, and we don't have time today, but our boss, general manager of Auburn Network, Steve Whitten, who is a
lifelong Auburn fan, right?
Yeah, lifelong Clemson fan and grad, Clemson grad. He actually sent me a really unique article on the naming of Death Valley, how Clemson got their naming of Death Valley, how LSU got their naming of Death Valley. Clemson had it first by quite some time, actually.
Because didn't Howard Drock come from the Sahara or something?
Something, I don't know. I read the article on how both of them got it. LSU beat Clemson in some bowl game way back when and claimed it. Again, I want to go into detail, probably that week one of college football, because there is actually history on who got the naming rights first and then who took it and things like that. But yeah, this person says they can't wait for the Clemson-LSU game. I agree. That's going to be a fantastic game. Somebody else in the text box said and reminded us, I forgot that this is this week, sir. You'll appreciate this. You can actually watch the Buford versus Milton game this Thursday night on ESPN. Should be a hell of a game. Absolutely it should. That is, you talk about some big boy high school football right there. That's them. That's Buford debuting their new $65 million stadium over there, which Christian helped fund with since he is an alum. And
as the one kid that came out of Buford University not playing football, I personally funded that football stadium.
That place is nice, man. I forgot that Georgia High School football starts this week. That is unreal.
Because again, we used to talk about it. We used to go, and if Buford was playing in the state championship, we'd be able to go watch them and then could drive up the next week and watch my cousins and buddies play at Auburn High.
Yeah, like, that's so crazy. So that's a good reminder. Yeah, you can watch
Thursday,
that on ESPN Thursday night.
ESPN, man. Shout out Coach App.
I'm looking up the weather on the unnamed weather website just to see. I can't imagine playing high school football in the South, in Georgia or Alabama, in the middle of August. I mean,
oh, it's
miserable through September. We know that. But just in general, man, let's see. Thursday, not supposed to be bad, according to unnamed weather source. 88 degrees p.m. thunderstorms, though. Man, what a rain on a parade that would be.
That would.
I don't know. Good thing we're not going.
One of the co-hosts might be in attendance. You never know. We never know.
One?
We're going on the line live from Buford High School. No, I'm just kidding.
They've got enough press boxes and
live
suites for us to do it from.
My stomping grounds, and they actually have their turf field. It's actually AC ventilated, so it actually feels really good. No, I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
If you paid $65 million for a high school stadium, it should have something like that.
For those that haven't looked at it, man, there's a bunch of videos, and it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty
wild. I didn't even get the new high school that's there. Trash.
Man. You poor thing going to Buford. You had more kids in your class than I had in my high school. What'd you graduate with?
498.
Oh, my gosh.
Which there is not big. Buford was 5A. Buford was just getting into 5A when I graduated. They're one of the top schools one of the biggest schools in the state.
Golly, that's wild. So there you go. That's on Thursday night to kick off the high school football season in the state next door. If you can't tell, we're pretty excited about it. We'll talk more college football when we come back, as some blue bloods have been released, and I don't know if we agree.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we're still not technically in college football season yet, but we're getting closer. We're right there on the cusp of it, which means we still have a couple of people out there tossing out some talking season graphics and takes and opinions and things. And that's what Mr. Andy Staples did earlier today, releasing his Blue Bloods of college football. And it's got some people all tore up. It's got people up in arms, so he did his job properly. And I'm curious on what our listeners think of this list. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390, or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, which has been very active so far today, so we appreciate that and always love hearing from you. 334-784-1067. I want you to read it.
We got a cheers from Colorado today.
We did. We did get a cheer
so from Colorado. So shout out back to you from Auburn, Alabama.
In the heart, baby. I want you to read this list, Christian.
Yeah.
Because then I want you to read it, and then I want to put an asterisk on it, or at least ask a question about this in general before we react to the teams that are on it.
I was going to say, so don't go one at a time. I'm going to read.
Nope. I want you to read them, because then I'm going to ask a question about it that I think can really open this entire conversation up.
Sure. So I guess there's not truly a list. There are 12 logos that Andy Staples released. This was with On3 College Football and On3 of the College Football Blue Bloods. There's 12 logos that made the cut, and then there are 5 that missed the cut. The College Football Blue Bloods, according to Andy Staples: Alabama, Michigan, Tennessee, Florida State, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, Texas, LSU, Notre Dame, and Southern Cal. Teams that missed the cut. So guessing the ones that, if only we had college football expansion on the Blue Bloods, man. If we need to expand everything else, then Auburn would have made the cut. The teams that missed the cut: Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Nebraska, and Penn State. Those are the 5 teams that missed the cut that are not Blue Bloods, according to Andy Staples.
One more time, just so people can have it, because there's a lot in there. Read them
there
one more
are.
Time.
The teams that are considered Blue Bloods: Alabama, Michigan, Tennessee, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Florida State, Georgia, Miami, Texas, LSU, Notre Dame, and Southern Cal. And the 5 teams that he has many logos of, the teams that missed the cut: Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Nebraska, and Penn State.
So here's my question. Okay, here's my question in terms of what he used in terms of a blue blood, right? Because we talk about this a lot, especially blue blood is a college basketball term that has flooded and kind of leaked into other sports across college athletics, right? I just, when you say, oh yeah, this team's a blue blood, I think of college basketball, just instinctively, right?
Well, and it made sense because of the teams that were blue in college basketball.
Big brain right
like,
there.
Like, in case anybody was wondering.
North Carolina, Kansas, yeah. Villanova. Like, yeah, they all kind of have a little blue in there. Auburn. And you got some name and some colors in there, right? Some teams and things. But my question is to Andy Staples, who is a big name at On3, does great work.
We're actually welcoming into the studio.
Yeah, as he opens the door. I'm just kidding. What goes into being a blue blood, and what is the timeline that he used in making this list? That's the big question for me, and I want to open that up to our listeners. When you think of a blue blood in any sport, what timeline, what time frame do you give for that blue blood? Is it 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 100 years?
Is it historic, or is it even just right now?
Yeah. But again, that there has to be some sort of a time frame, yeah. Because you could go back to the beginning of time for basketball and say, well, yeah, UCLA's a blue blood all time, but last 20 years, not really, right? They've had some hit-or-miss moments. But in terms of this list of blue bloods with Bama, Michigan, Tennessee, Florida State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Miami, Texas, LSU, Notre Dame, and USC, what qualifications do you have to be considered a blue blood? Because there are some obvious ones on here. Alabama, duh. Georgia is there now.
You feel like certain teams like that kind of give you that baseline of like 10 years, 15 years, right?
But with this, I feel like, you know, my qualifications would be, have you won a national title? I think that's qualification number one.
Is this ever, or is this in the 21st century?
I'm saying, I think we're in a unique spot with it being 2025. You can use the 25-year mark, or if you want to use even the 15-year mark, that would include Auburn in that list, barely, but you're in there, right, as national champions in 2010. Also playing for another one, I think, helps Auburn, as they should be in this list, if you're making that argument.
Yeah, and a game away from another.
The fact that Clemson's not
yeah.
a blue blood, the fact that they just missed the cut. How in the world does
Florida?
How does Clemson just miss the cut as a blue blood, but Oklahoma is on this list? Miami is on this list. How in the world can you tell me that Oklahoma and Miami are blue bloods of college football, but Clemson is not? If you're at least talking recency bias, which isn't all that recent because they've been dominant since Dabo Swinney got there. That's, I don't know, man. For me, what this list comes off as in terms of this blue bloods list from Andy Staples, and not trying to tear it apart, but disagreeing some, I think he picked logos that are recognizable to the average fan for the most part. And if that was the qualifications, we're about to get to Lonnie and Lochipoca in just a second. If that was the main qualification, how in the world is Florida not in there, who just missed out? But Oklahoma? Really? We're going to put Oklahoma as a blue blood in college football? Really? Or USC?
That's what I was going to say. Southern Cal since Reggie Bush?
Since 04, 05, 06. Like, what the heck? Notre Dame, I know. I want to disagree with it, but they're at least relevant enough to be in there.
If that's the case, you feel like, as much as this hurts you to say, or you might love to say it, Penn State is kind of in that same spot, are they not? Minus the...
At least Notre Dame's played for a couple
national
titles. That's
what I was going to say, minus the playoff appearances, but when you're sitting there at a winning percentage of whatever the case may be, 11-2 every single year.
Yeah. Tennessee as a blue blood in college football? Give me a break. Tennessee? Give me a break. There's no shot you look at this and say that Tennessee's a blue blood in college football. Let's bring in Lonnie from Lochipoca on the phone lines. My man, do you agree or disagree with what we're talking about right here?
I agree with y'all and disagree with whoever put this list out, Andy Staples or whatever. I mean, first of all, I don't even know why we do these lists, because I guess it's just for fun because they're so subjective, and that's fine. But if this guy's going to put Tennessee – Oklahoma and Florida State in there. I think he missed Harvard and Yale.
Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't make sense. But and theoretically, or not theoretically, realistically, there's only about five or six blue bloods, period. And it, in my opinion, it's Alabama, Georgia now, didn't used to be, but they are now, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Texas, Ohio State, and Notre Dame, and that's probably about it.
When does that line, you mentioned Georgia now, how long does that take? Is that the national titles that bring it up? I mean, how far does that span into the term of blue blood?
I think going back 40 or 50 years
okay.
is probably good enough. And, I mean, they won one in 80 or 81, whatever
yeah.
it was, and they've won, what, 2 cents?
Mm-hmm.
So that's three natties in the last 40 years. I mean, I think that's blue blood status for sure.
I mean, I give you that one. But, I mean, look at a team like Florida State, for example. We may not love it, but they've been around. I think recency bias is hurting them tremendously. But that is a team that won a national title less than 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, what I just said actually goes against my argument with Miami. But, I mean, the thing is, Miami has fallen off so hard that if they don't get one within the next 4 or 5 years, is Miami a blue blood?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope. Not at all.
Lonnie, where do you feel for Auburn in this conversation? Is there one of the teams that just missed the cut? Are you happy at all that they're on this list, the fact that their logo is even somebody that's listed?
It doesn't bother me one bit. I think it's accurate. If you look at Auburn's overall winning percentage as it relates to everybody else, we're somewhere around 14th or 15th overall. And so having us right outside the cut, I think, is accurate. And you know what? Any Auburn fan that gets mad about that is deluding themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine.
I'm at the conversation I'm happy that their logo's on there, and I feel like there could be a legitimate argument of, okay, the fact that Auburn's logo is even showing up right now just because you mentioned that fall off over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention one other thing, guys, as far as I don't know if y'all are going to get into the scrimmage conversation over the weekend, mm-hmm. and I know there wasn't a whole lot of info that got put out because it was a closed scrimmage. I do know that the defense apparently dominated the scrimmage, and that's not surprising because I know they probably knew some of the plays that were coming at them. But I keep hearing through my little grapevine and my little contacts over there, which are pretty solid, that our pass rush is not looking good, and that Jackson Arnold is holding on to the football too long still. So I'm not going to go crazy yet, not going to get sad or anything like that, but I do want in the next scrimmage notes that come out or whatever comes out of the grapevine, I want to hear that the offense made a significant stride. Because if I hear that the defense dominated again in the next scrimmage, I don't like that. Let's just say that.
There you go. Lonnie, we appreciate the call, my friend. Always good
Thanks,
to hear
guys. Have
from
a good
you
day.
And contributing to the conversation. 334-321-1390. You can get in on this as well or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067.
And, yeah, it brings up a really good point again. Thank you for the call once again. That's something we're diving into to start hour number two. We're going to talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as much diving into the scrimmage notes because, again, it is a very closed-off practice. But from the rumors, from the rumble, and how quickly conversations can turn into panic from the standpoint of if Jackson Arnold's holding on to the football too long. Hugh Freeze has mentioned it a couple times of Arnold can be a little greedy sometimes trying to hold on, trying to find that perfect pocket to try and throw it in rather than holding on or rather than handing it off. And does that bring up the conversation of wanting to build his confidence, of he's not really seeing that full speed defense and then obviously the defensive pass rush in there. So we're going to be able to dive into it, but I mean, really, really good points all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. Again, we're going to get to that to start the second hour of the show and kind of what it looks like if the offense does struggle, if the defensive pressure isn't what it needs to be, and kind of diving in and kind of breaking all that down. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Lonnie. So stick around, and we're looking forward to talking about that conversation. To put a bow on this whole blue blood thing, Miami is not a blue blood in college football anymore. Anymore.
So if that's the case, your conversation from this is 25, 20 years?
I mean, did they win the national title in 2001? Yes, they did.
That's what, sorry to cut you off, but that's exactly what we're asking the questions to Andy about is, man, you look at these logos and there's four or five of them that even Lonnie brought up of, okay, yeah, we agree with teams like that, but then just about every single one, it's, well, they haven't done this, or that happened 15 years ago, this happened 5 years ago, but they were awful before, and so you feel like there's no common ground for all these majority teams.
I like Lonnie's point, though. This list has what? Is there 12 on that list? Is that right?
Yeah, 12 teams that made it that are Blue Bloods considering, or according to Andy Staples, and then five others that are just missing the cut.
That list should be cut in half.
It should be reversed. There's five Blue Bloods, and there's 12 teams that are on that tier below.
Correct. Being a Blue Blood is an honor. It is a privilege. It is, you are the top tier of your sport historically, last 50 years, last 25 years. And to be honest with you, I think being a Blue Blood, you damn near got to hit all of those in my book to be considered a Blue Blood compared to what we've called Auburn basketball as of late, which is
a new blood.
Correct. Yeah. So I think Blue Blood status, there's very few that are in there. You could start looking at this list and say there's some new bloods in there.
Easily.
Georgia is a new blood.
Right. You look at teams, even for this year, this upcoming 2025 season, you feel like the new bloods, the conversation, even if you throw the word blue blood into that, I would put Ohio State, I'd put Oregon, I'd put Michigan just because of the national title, and I would put Georgia, and I'd put Texas. I feel like those five is a pretty solid list.
Yeah.
Penn State right below it, and teams like to that same time. I put Notre Dame, I put LSU, all that one tier below.
Yeah. Historically, though, LSU is that team that's like, all right, every 4 years, here we come.
Historically, yes. You know? But I'm saying for this 2025 season, based off of what happened last year,
sure,
or maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Sure. No, I'm with you on that. So there you go. You can look that up. Andy Staples on three puts out a Blue Bloods list and what he thinks, and clearly we don't fully agree. Tennessee being on that list is laughable to me. I'm just going to leave it with
this. Well, they made the playoff last year, Jacob.
I don't care. Never mind. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number. Give us a call. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wrap up hour number one with the newest AP poll that released today. And then we begin hour number two with scrimmage reactions. That's all here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, a couple of minutes here in hour number one as we wrap it up. And just a reminder, coming up in hour number two, we're going to start the hour with the scrimmage talks, right? Kind of scrimmage rumors, not really reports because it was a closed scrimmage to the media and things, but just kind of giving our thoughts on what we're hearing and things about what happened on Friday for Auburn football. So we're going to start the hour with that. We're also going to move our AP poll conversation to the second hour as well. Just kind of reacting to the first AP poll of the year, what that sets up for week one, all that sort of stuff. So that's going to be in hour number two. We're also going to talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, fresh off a golf trip, by the way. So get to ask him how that swing looks. And, hey, he was in...
I know how all the pictures and courses look because, my goodness, I was jealous.
I was going to say, and where he was playing, I'll let him say it if he wants to, but where he was playing, the ball travels a little bit further out there. So
I would love... Oh, man.
Believe it or not, I've played out there one time. I played when I was visiting my buddy, when I was visiting Graham out there, former intern Graham, was visiting him out there, got to play a golf course one time there, and it was very nice, very nice. So, yes, we'll talk to Jacob Hillman about that golf trip just for a minute, and then we'll get his thoughts on Auburn football, the Baylor drama that continues to go around, and stuff like that. But there was some news, was this yesterday that this came out?
Yesterday or Saturday?
I can't remember. Yeah. John Gruden dropped a quote and got everybody all fired up that he said he would love, Christian, to be back as a head coach in the SEC. And, of course, everybody took it and ran with it and was well, Auburn, there's your new head coach. Arkansas, there's your new head coach. You know, it's just like, and so everybody had some fun. LSU, when it doesn't work out for Brian Kelly, John Gruden's the next head coach of the LSU Tigers. I mean, I don't know if there's ever going to happen or this is ever going to happen, but could you imagine?
Yeah. He was talking to Georgia Bulldogs and said, quote, if I'm being honest with you, I do not BS either. I want to coach again. I would die to coach in the SEC. I would love it. I would freaking love it. And yeah, everybody, that's from his Barstool or Barstool Gruden account or whatever the case may be. But yeah, people have taken that and it's turned into the, hey, Arkansas, when Pittman goes, man, just use all those taxes, get Gruden and let him go be a fantastic recruiter. I know Josh Pate did a hit on it as well yesterday, saying he will coach in the SEC. Just because of a statement like that, there will be teams.
Oh, I didn't see Josh said something about it.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
There's going to be teams that hit him up. And yeah, could you imagine, jokingly, if it is Auburn, as little people want to go through that whole process again, even if he's not there. I mean, just imagine him on a college football field simply because you never thought you would hear it. We thought, and we still think it's going to be the case, of these top SEC, top college football coaches are going to work their way into the National Football League so that way they don't have to deal with the drama. But how funny is it that you're now seeing it go the opposite way, at least to start? You started with Belichick at North Carolina, Gruden now trying to work his way back. I mean, you feel like things are teetering right now just simply because there's no such thing as college football anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, on what level is this the same or different of the Bill Belichick stuff? I mean, we've yet to see North Carolina play a game with Bill Belichick, but
yeah.
He's had more off-field drama than he has on-field. And again, they haven't even played a single game yet. Would this be similar or not similar if John Gruden does become a head coach in the SEC? I mean, you're talking about the GOAT of the NFL head coaching world in Belichick at North Carolina.
To be fair, it's not really his drama.
Oh, it's his drama. Oh, it's his. He chose that. He chose
that. He did. So, Gruden, if you want to come coach college football, just...
I don't know, man. Because Belichick's so boring, but then there is drama, and it's like, wow, maybe he is a human, you know? But Gruden is just colorful, electric, and out there, and he'd be in the SEC. I don't know. It could get even more wild. Send that man to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Whew. The Hogs are back, baby.
Hour number one is in the book. Stick around. We're talking Auburn football in the scrimmage from Friday to start hour two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show. It tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. In the studio with me is our man, Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. We take the audio, put it on our station website for you Monday through Friday. That is at ESPNAU.com. In that first hour, we talked a lot about some blue bloods in college football reacting to some different lists that were put out there. Also talked about Auburn football recruiting as the Tigers late Friday evening, picked up a wide receiver in the 2026 class by Jace Matthews, the four-star, presumed five-star, when he gets to campus, picked him up in the class of 2026 as well. Had some phone calls, had some text messages, had a whole lot of fun in that first hour. So if you missed it, you can go back and listen to it or any of our previous shows in the podcast center on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
A very popular topic to start hour number two, man. We're talking the Auburn scrimmage that was closed off, not talking about it, but talking about some of the notes, some of the concerns that possibly happened inside Jordan-Hare Stadium with the closed scrimmage on Friday as the defense was reportedly dominant, the offense kind of all over the place. We're going to be able to dive into that just a little bit. We're also going to talk a little bit about the AP poll top 25, something we moved from hour number one to hour number two. More of a comparison between the coaches poll and the AP poll. Where does Auburn come in? Where does Baylor come in? And who all is on Auburn's schedule? Where are they in the top 25 according to the AP poll? And three top 10 matchups in week one according to the AP poll. It's going to be a fantastic hour number two. All before we get to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, we're going to be able to talk to him about his bogey golf, about his fantastic news that he has to say regarding Auburn football and Auburn athletics.
Just so you know, a conversation we ended the first hour with about John Gruden, our buddy Lonnie texted the text box and says, who says that Gruden's even that good anyway? I'd take Lane Kiffin over him all day long and 10 times on Sunday.
Man.
Lane Kiffin, the guy that hasn't won any significant games or trophies in college football, and you'd take him over.
Thankfully, whenever there's a coaching search, he's never in the discussion or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thankfully, so he is securely in Oxford and has never, ever looked for another head coaching job in the history of his existence.
No, and didn't tease Auburn and now loves coming back to Jordan-Hare Stadium, and Auburn can't wait for him to do so. All of that coming up here in hour number two. He's Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin, and we appreciate everybody for being here with us. If you're picking up, tagging along here for hour number two, or you've been with us for the entire show, it's been a very active show both in the text box and the phone lines, and both are open to start hour number two as well. 334-784-1067 is the text box and the phone lines if you would like to connect to us as well. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. And we start with a very, very popular topic, Mr. Goins. Auburn football scrimmage, the closed scrimmage, we talked a little bit about it on Friday and about how it was going to be about 30 plays for the ones, 30 plays for the twos, and somewhere between 15 and 20 for the threes. And you feel like there is a lot of noise coming out of that scrimmage. It's more so trying to detect if that's positive or negative.
Well, what we talked about on Friday was what we wanted to hear coming out of the scrimmage, right? And it was closed off. There was not media viewing windows and things like that. But, of course, information kind of slips out. And people on the internet,
which means it's all 100% true.
That is absolutely correct. Everything you read, hear, or think you hear or read is true.
I believe they saw Ty Simpson inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, too.
I heard there were spies on top of the Haley Center trying to get some viewing windows of this as well. So what we're going to say and talk about today is just based off of what we hear and what we have seen in terms of practice and viewing windows, okay? This is not concrete things. We're playing a major what-if game today, okay?
Our favorite.
It is our favorite. But what we talked about on Friday was what we wanted to hear, see, and discuss coming out of this scrimmage. Sure. We wanted to hear, see, and discuss a good day from Jackson Arnold, because what we saw in Jordan-Hare a couple of weeks ago was eh. Just being honest with you, it was eh. They didn't throw it around a ton, but when they did, it was eh. We saw one-on-one drills with the defensive line versus the offensive line, and the D-line whooped them in one-on-one drills. We saw some incredible catches. We saw good runs. This was a couple of weeks ago inside Jordan-Hare. What the rumblings are coming out of Friday was that the offense was kind of all over the place. Some nice catches from the receivers. Jackson Arnold was eh. Offensive line, Lonnie said he heard. Offensive line was fine. He heard the defensive line wasn't getting a whole lot of pressure. But what I've been hearing and kind of seeing and things is, overall, the defense is solid. But the offense just isn't quite there yet.
How exhausting is that to hear? And yes, we know that that is all speculation, if it's all true. But how long have we talked about it? Everybody listening would have believed us if we would have walked up and said, yep, we were there. The offense dominated, and the offense doesn't look like they've figured it all out yet. You'd be like, oh, yeah, you're telling us the story of the past decade for this Auburn football team, of the defense going out and dominating and the offense trying to figure it out as you go, hoping that the defense can give you a short field and you'll take your three and try to move on from there. It brings up so many conversation points of everything that's gone on so far in fall camp. And again, this is not us pressing any sort of panic button. This is not us sitting there saying, man, the quarterback race just heated up a little bit. I don't know who has the QB1 next to their name, but it's got to look out. We are not going anywhere to that degree yet, and we hope that we don't have to go to that degree. But man, Lonnie brought up a really good point. Now we're number one of the next time you scrimmage, it better be really, really positive notes coming from the offensive side of the football, because that's when concerns are going to pick up, right? The conversations of Jackson Arnold wanting to build confidence, DJ Durkin and Hugh Freeze agreeing to take it a little bit easy on Arnold and allowing him to establish himself with the RPO, establish himself with the receiver room to build that confidence, because what we've heard is that's the exact opposite of how things went at Oklahoma. With Brent Venables, man, welcome to college football. I'm going to throw my defensive mindset on you, and you're not going to know what to do. You saw how that worked out, and then obviously injuries as well. But the last thing you want if you're Auburn right now is to make it to where those conversation points work their way up in a negative manner of, well, you didn't allow Jackson Arnold to see the full potential of the defense or the full potential of a defense. How the heck is he going to run out on August 29th and you expect for him to feel confident in Waco, Texas?
Well, it's funny because the debates that Auburn fans were having over the weekend on social media with a lot of the Baylor folks, because, man, by the time this game kicks off on August 29th, these two fan bases are going to absolutely hate each other because of everybody that's getting in on this conversation.
Either that, or they're all just going to love each other, and it was secretly a giant publicity stunt of, hey, let's just get clicks everywhere.
I mean, whatever the case may be, but the argument going on right now is, can Auburn score against Baylor on Friday night on August 29th? That seems to be the big question mark, which isn't all that outlandish, because that's what we've been asking Auburn football to do for the past decade, is score the football, right? Score on an offensive drive. Don't settle for a 58-yard field goal with a freshman on the road. What a crazy idea that is, right? But it's funny how all this is kind of timed up, and I think they're all kind of interlocking together, is the question mark of the offense. I don't think Baylor's defense is all that crazy good.
And how funny is that? That all of the questions are leaning towards the Auburn side. Which goes to show you they think the Auburn's the better team, but it shows that there's a lot more concerns on that side of things. It's not the, can Baylor's defense stop Auburn? Or can Baylor's offense score against the Auburn defense? It goes to show you the exact story that Auburn's had the past decade of, can Auburn get out of their own way and not shoot themselves in the foot?
Baylor to me, on the defensive side of the football on opening night against Auburn's offense, is just a P4 team wearing gray helmets, gray uniforms, gray pants with no logos or names and numbers on it. It's just a blank team that nobody knows who they are. Nobody cares who they are. It really does come down to, can Auburn execute? Can Auburn move the chains? Can Auburn not turn the football over? And can Auburn score? That's where I'm looking at this. That's how I'm looking at this Baylor game. And there's so much riding on this. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But I will say, our buddy Uncle T-Bone went on Doug Amos' show earlier today and actually brought up something really, really interesting, a comparison of what Auburn could do with a win or an impressive win against Baylor in the opener. He went back to 2008. An Alabama season opener, where they pretty much put Bowden's career to bed, where Alabama just dominated their season opener, and they went on to start winning some football games, and it turned everything around. It brought a fan base out of the depths of you know where and brought them back to life.
More than you know.
And so... Yes, but I mean, it like, legit, like, and it was such a good comparison of what they did in 08 in their season opener, talking about Alabama here, versus what Auburn could do in their season opener this year in 2025. Does a win over Baylor by 50 or 30 or 20 or 1, does it answer every question? No. Answers a lot of them, though.
But you also hope that even with a win, there's not even more questions that pop up. You hope that some of those questions can become answered because you feel like you take a win loss, you take out what a win or a loss does to both of these teams, and imagine 17-13 as your final score versus 38-34, right? That completely flips two totally different sides of the spectrum, and you throw an Auburn win in either of those. Of right now, you're more worried about the offense than the defense, to where if you go win a 17-13 game, you're like, okay, yes, you won, but at the cost of, oh gosh, is our offense going to be able to do anything? Even if you take the other side, it's a loss, but it's a 38-34 loss that Auburn has to suffer. It's okay, well, we found out that the offense knows how to find the end zone, but can the defense like that pass rush that you're hearing about? And again, we don't even know how much Keldrick Falk played or blocked in or Antonio Coleman, any of those guys. We don't know exactly what it looked like on their side of things, but you feel like regardless of the situation, there's going to be so many questions that come up. You just hope that there's more answers that are answered than questions that come up after the final score.
Yeah, and I've been on the train, too, that as much as we want to be picky about a win over Baylor, we're not allowed, I don't think.
But I get what you're saying. That's the conversation.
Friday night, you'll feel good. Through the weekend, it'll be fine. But then when we get in here on a Monday, Tuesday, it's like, okay, Auburn wins this game.
Yes.
But
it will be the actual breakdown, and it will be hopefully a very good situation of a win, but
right,
here's what it should look like.
And clearly the concern 2 weeks out, no, 3 weeks out, less than 3 weeks out from Auburn football starting the season on the road in Waco, Texas, the offense is still a problem. It's not where it needs to be. At the end of the day, whether it's the O-line, the quarterbacks, the running backs, whatever, the Auburn offense is not where it needs to be, which is not what Auburn fans want to hear. But the good news is you do still have 18 days or 16 if you want to count travel, whatever. You still have time to fix it. You still have time.
Yeah, this is not week 9 or week 10, or this is not March 1st in the college basketball year of, okay, well, our team is what we are. We're going to have to find ways to adapt. You're still so early in the season, you haven't even truly kicked off the season yet, to where you're still able to make so many of these adjustments. And you've heard Hugh Freeze talk about it, of Jackson Arnold being a little bit greedy, and we're still trying to work with him on the RPO game. Things like that tighten up, and it is, rather than Jackson Arnold trying to complete that 8-yard slant, you take the 4-yard run just because it continues to work its way out. Something like that can still be a very easy fix.
Before we get to break, it's funny you bring up Jackson Arnold, because so did this texter in the text box, 334-784-1067, and asked this question. If you lose to Baylor, talking about Auburn, if Auburn loses to Baylor and Jackson Arnold looks terrible, the word he used, if Auburn loses to Baylor and Jackson Arnold looks terrible, do you go ahead and roll with Deuce Knight with the games that you have coming up? My answer is A, no, you don't move on from Jackson Arnold yet. And B, if there is a world where you do move on from Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels is going to be the backup quarterback, not Deuce Knight, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that was the answer that I was going to lean more towards of...
You can't give up on Jackson Arnold after one game, right?
Right, but if it's week 4 or week 5, I think...
You have a really good bye week placed in there.
You do.
Right before the Georgia game.
If Auburn loses to Baylor and Waco on Friday night, if we have to come back on here... When we come back the Monday following.
I don't know.
It might be an if we come back on Monday.
That's true.
The intro will play, and I'm just going to be pressing these green buttons on the phone line here, and we won't need to do a show because you feel like the fan base will be able to speak for itself.
Yeah, I just...
But my answer, I think I would say no.
My answer, I hate to give the it depends, but unless Auburn just gets shut out, Arnold has 5 picks, and... it wasn't play calling. He just looks lost.
Right.
That's a difference. But I don't expect that to happen. It's hard to judge on one game. But to be fair, it's going to be hard to judge him on the first five because look at the games he's going to be playing. Take Arnold out of it. Any quarterback. We saw this with Peyton Thorne last year. We saw in the first couple of games a year ago, he was terrible. And then all of a sudden, they dropped 70 points on whoever it was inside Jordan Hare. We're like, oh, the offense is fixed. Everything's fine. And then they come back the next week and look horrific.
Well, again. Then you realize that you can't just run go balls against Alabama A&M.
Right, exactly. So the first five games of Jackson Arnold's Auburn career is on the road at Baylor, two terrible games or he won't get anything out of, on the road at Oklahoma and on the road at Texas A&M. You still have to make improvements. I don't care who you are. This is the SEC, and you're a starting quarterback. You better find a way to get it done. But there has to be some sort of leniency because that's as tough of a slate as it gets to judge a brand-new quarterback on and a brand-new system for him with a coach that has been incompetent so far since he's been here on the offensive side of the football, I may add.
You add those with the standpoint of it's three games that, based off of where you look, you are not favored in any of them.
Correct. So what is the leash? What is the judgment zone of Jackson Arnold there? I think it's impossible to answer that question right now, I think. It's a good question. I just think it's impossible to answer on August 11th. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. We want to hear from you, man. Text box has been on fire today at 784-1067. You can shoot us a message in there as well. We're talking the latest AP poll, the first AP poll, when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a few minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break where we'll talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network about the latest updates in Auburn athletics as the fall sports are happening, man. It's here. School is almost back. High schools are back for sure. The university goes back, what, next week or something like that, I think? It's here, man. Everything is happening. So we're going to talk to him about all the fall sports for Auburn Athletics and just kind of his overall thoughts on fall practice so far, some of this Baylor drama, things like that, Auburn basketball a little bit as well. We've been getting some more pictures and videos and things out of Auburn basketball. So looking forward to talking to him coming up at 3:30. But we got the first AP poll drop today for college football, and I think you will appreciate this, Christian, of what I'm about to say and put your stamp of approval on this. I would like to reiterate that on this particular program, we do not believe in preseason rankings. They are dumb. They are bad. They make no sense. But you have to talk about them because it's the number next to the team's names in the top 25, right? So
that does, thank you. That does make me happy.
I figured you would. I figured you'd like that.
For those that don't know it, Christian Griffin believes that the first ranking of the season should be the coaches or first, should be the college football playoff rankings.
I agree.
In
I mean,
week 8, week 9, week 10.
Bare minimum, October 1. Like, first week of October, give me four games to see what a team looks like before I put a number next to their name. But for obvious reasons, that'll never happen. But that's okay. We did get the first AP poll, and it is something to at least review while we are getting closer to the start of college football season. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen it by now. I'll read through it here quickly. Okay, Texas 1, Penn State 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, Georgia is at 5, Notre Dame 6, Oregon 7, Alabama 8, LSU at 9, and Miami is at 10. We'll go 11 through 20 here. Arizona State, Illinois, South Carolina, Michigan's at 14, then Florida, SMU, Kansas State, Oklahoma's at 18, A&M at 19, Indiana is at 20, and then 21 through 25, Ole Miss 21, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, and Boise State rounds out the top 25. Things that stand out to you just in general in comparison to what we saw in the coaches poll, too high, too low, just right, what you got?
They have, I mean, again, you're doing a compare and contrast. It's relatively similar. It's what we talked about with the top 10 of, man, the logos you could kind of throw anywhere. The only difference in the top 10 is 2 and 3, Ohio State and Penn State, are flipped based off of where you look, as are Clemson's fourth in the preseason top 25 on the AP side of things. They are sixth in the coaches poll. They jump Notre Dame and Georgia, who's 5 and 6 in the coaches poll. Or, I'm sorry, in the AP top 25. But then 7, 8, 9, and 10 are the exact same, even all the way up until 14, where you see Florida as the 15th ranked team, SMU at 16. You don't feel like there's too many things to overly highlight other than the fact of Tennessee dropping from 18th to 24th based off the coaches poll versus the AP poll. But again, I'm at the point right now, you see logos, and obviously it brings up talking points, but I'll give my thumbs up and say okay.
Peter Burns from ESPN and the SEC Network put out a post. He said LSU, Oklahoma, Florida, and Mississippi State. LSU, Oklahoma, Florida, and Mississippi State all have more top 25 teams on their schedule, 7, than Penn State and Indiana play combined at
yes,
6.
But they have a 9-game schedule. I don't know if your SEC's conference schedule, and the
right.
SEC only has 8. And so when you add that extra game, that kind of evens everything out.
Yeah, you're right. That's on me.
How incredible is it? Again, we've talked in nauseam about this Auburn schedule, and we're going to continue to. When's the last time you've only seen 4 top 25 teams to start the season on Auburn's schedule?
I mean, it's been a long time. And that could change, very well could change. But that goes back into talent's not an issue. Schedule, once you get through the first 5 or 6, is not an issue. I mean, it's a balanced schedule for the most part for Auburn. It's lopsided at the front and
sure.
really downsided at the other end. I don't know if that's how you correctly say that. But
it's lopsided.
Or is that just... Well, it's lopsided. It's
top heavy.
Yeah, there you go. Top heavy.
It's waterlogged.
Yeah, exactly. It's extremely difficult at the beginning. Down the backstretch is super easy. But on another note, as bad as top 25 rankings are preseason, if there is something cool to come out of it today, it's the fact that we have 3 top 10 matchups in opening weekend of college football. There is something cool to come out of it.
They are absolutely incredible. And obviously, you feel like they could even throw the 12th team in there just to make it a top 10. But number 1, Texas takes on number 3, Ohio State. Number 4, Clemson takes on number 9, LSU. Number 6, Notre Dame takes on number 10, Miami. 3 top 10 matchups in week 1. And for those wondering, Baylor is unofficially at 28. Auburn is unofficially at 37.
Of those 3 top 10 games, which team will not be in the top 10 by the end of the season? My answer, it's Mario Cristobal and Miami.
Oh, man.
Texas and Ohio State.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is your answer. Wow. Okay.
I think the quarterback question marks are going to play a very big factor.
I like it.
For Marcus Freeman.
I think that's bold, but I think it's a good pick as well. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we get to the phone lines and welcome in our usual Monday 3:30 guest, a man that I can't believe he came back to Auburn, to be quite honest with you, on a wonderful-looking golf trip. Looked like he had an absolute blast. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. My man, I know better than to ask how you're doing, because you better be doing pretty good.
Listen, I'm riding high right now after a great weekend out west in Denver. Man, I'll tell you what, Chris and I were just talking about it before we got on air, and like, the ball flies forever. As someone that's never been at that high of elevation, it really does make a huge difference, especially with the golf game and how far the ball travels. And hey, I'll tell you what, it's really cool to go out there, and I would recommend it to anybody to travel a little bit, go play some golf, or even if you're not a golfer, just go hang out west and see something different.
Hillman, I know you have the yardages on the cart. I know you know. What was the furthest drive? You have to have a number in there.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not the longest hitter in the group, But we did have someone touch 400, so that was really cool for me.
And so is that you, me, down here, is that usually 330, 340?
Yeah, yeah, just about. And I touched 385, so that was I loved that.
That is unbelievable. I mean, look, I've played out there one time, thankfully, and it was beautiful. I will say, I remember my contacts drying out, my lips were just destroyed. Yes. My face was all, I mean, it wasn't burnt, but it felt like it was because of the wind and the elevation and things out there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Again, it was still a great experience and just so much fun to get out there. And yet, like you said, the lips are still recovering, trying to get back used to the humidity here in Alabama, which is not too bad right now. But you know, in general, it was a lot of fun. And you know, even on the golf topic, and I don't know if we'll talk about this, but man, U.S. Amateur leaderboard, a lot of Auburn on it, and it's gonna be really fun to watch out in San Francisco this weekend. Logan Riley, he's an incoming freshman. He's tied for first right now with a 3-under round. Jackson Coyvan, the top-ranked amateur in the world, he's tied for third. And then Billy Davis, Josiah Gilbert, and Caden Pope are just getting underway for their rounds in the first round of USAM. So, hey, look, it's August, but lots of golf to talk about right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we were going to talk to you kind of at the back end of the interview, but let's start there because Auburn very well represented on the golf course pretty much no matter where they're playing right now. And, I mean, what does that say just in terms of what the Auburn golf programs, right, the men's and women's side have been able to do, and we've seen the money that Auburn has invested in the golf programs too. I mean, what does it say for these guys and girls to be having this much success this early on in their, you know, amateur pro careers?
Yeah, it's really awesome. And you know, this past weekend the U.S. women's am wrapped up. Anna Davis lost to the eventual winner of the women's amateur championship, so just kind of a luck of the draw there to face that, you know, in the round of 32 instead of maybe in the final or whatnot. But yeah, this the program on the men's and women's side has both just been at the top of it of the sport for the last several years. And you just look at some of the numbers, and the men's side have won more tournaments in the SEC than any other program over the last 11 or so years. You have the continuity with Nick Kleinert and that staff. Obviously, Chris Williams, he was one of the top-ranked amateurs in the world when he was competing as an amateur golfer 15 years ago or so. So, you know, having the continuity of Coach Kleinert, having a guy like Coach Williams that can really connect with the golfers and really help with that. And then, obviously, on the women's side, Melissa Llewellyn, again, continuity. She's been there for a while. She really knows what the expectations should look like for Auburn. And again, I think that this really, you just look at the recruiting aspect of it and how the top players in the country, in the world, continue to come to Auburn. And part of it's the facilities, part of it's the success that the Tigers have had over the last few years. But I just think that they see it as an opportunity to come and compete with the best, play with the best, and be the best golfers that they can be. And obviously that's shown over the past few years. I mean, like I said, Logan Riley coming in as a freshman, and he's already leading the USAM right now. Mm-hmm. That's a huge deal. And Auburn's going to be the team to beat on the men's side, especially this upcoming season. And the women's team will look to try and rise in the rankings again, as they have several times in the past few years.
Well, along with that, the fall sports for Auburn, other than football, which we will get to here in just a moment. I mean, fall sports are here, Hillman. I mean, it is that time with soccer getting going. I know they had an exhibition a couple of days ago, the season getting going. I believe they're playing Louisville coming up this week, and they've also got a couple of other games in there. Volleyball has their orange and blue scrimmage on Sunday afternoon. I mean, what can you tell us about what's going on with James Armstrong, the new head coach of Auburn soccer, and then, of course, Brent Crouch and the success he's had with Auburn volleyball?
Yeah, no, it's obviously now we're getting to that exciting time of the year where all the sports are getting underway. The athletic calendar begins to shift to actual game action. It's not just talking season anymore, and it starts on Thursday night against Louisville at the Auburn Soccer Complex as the James Armstrong era officially begins. Two exhibition matches against Georgia Southern and Memphis, both results were a win for the Tigers, so that's big time for Auburn just to get off to a good start, confident, and build from there. Well, this team is going to be there's a mix of experience and a little bit of new faces, obviously, with the switch in the new coach with James Armstrong. So he brought in some great positives. You're not going to have Matty Prochaska anymore, so breaking in a new goalkeeper, that's a big thing to keep an eye on for the Tigers. And I just think starting the season off against a high major opponent like Louisville That's the way you want to do it, because this team was in the Sweet 16 last year, and this program has been so good for so long under Coach Karen Hoppe's watch, and it's going to continue that way with James Armstrong coming over from Mississippi State, where he won SEC titles and was the Coach of the Year. And he was just so good building that program up. He's not even going to have to really build the program as much as he did with the Bulldogs, because Coach Hoppe left it in such a great spot. So now it's time to capitalize on the momentum the program already has. And like I said, it starts Thursday night, Auburn Soccer Complex, 6:30 Central, free to attend. And then, as you said, Auburn Volleyball season will start a little bit later, but the Orange and Blue scrimmage is set for Sunday at 2:00 Central. So that's the first bit of action that you'll be able to take in. But exhibition action for the Tigers will be against Georgia Tech next Saturday, so the 23rd at noon Central. And, you know, I just think that this volleyball program last year was a little disappointing, I think, for Coach Crouch and that team, as they got off to a great start in non-conference play, and then SEC play came around, and just some misfortune as well as some bad breaks and whatnot. It was just tough to bounce back from some of those losses. And obviously we've seen in the past where Auburn made its first NCAA tournament, made its first Sweet 16, and did all of these great things, going to Florida and winning for the first time ever 2 years ago, attendance records and all things of that nature. It's just going to lead to a big bounce back for the Tigers this year. So again, that schedule is released and it's out finally, as the non-conference is finally set. And the first home match won't be until September 3rd, but the Tigers will get started on August 29th for the Cardinal Classic at Louisville, who's number 4 in the country. So that's another big test for the volleyball team. And obviously that gets the fall sports really underway.
We're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. And Hillman, can't let you go out of here without talking a little bit of football. We're 11 days from high school football. We are 12 days from college football. We are 18 days from Auburn teeing it up in Waco, Texas. And I'm sure that you've heard a little bit of the drama that's going on social media right now, just between the Baylor fans and the Auburn fans, just about what each team is going to look like, what the offenses, what the defenses are going to look like. What are you the most excited about seeing and hopefully being able to answer some of those question marks about this Auburn Tiger team?
Well, isn't that what's so beautiful about this time of year? Everyone thinks that their team is going to win the national championship at this point in the off season, where the hype is as high as it can be, and you're just a few weeks away. You've gotten your few nuggets out of the first couple of weeks of fall camp, and you know it really is an exciting time. And I think that it is going to capitalize for Auburn. And you know, year three under Coach Hugh Freeze, that's the time that it needs to. And obviously, going out on the road to face Baylor, a team that finished last year as hot as anybody before ultimately falling in its bowl game to LSU, but winning its last six games, that's something you look at. That's a little daunting, but you know, Baylor's a different team. And I think I saw a stat earlier, and I don't know who to credit it to, but I think Baylor, all the top maybe 60 defenses it faced, or top 40, that's who Baylor lost to last year. And Auburn was a top 60 or 40 defense, whatever the number was last season. Now it's a new year, so things are going to be a little bit different. You're going to see some guys have gone on to the NFL, some guys have graduated and moved on with their careers, but it still kind of gives a little bit of a gauge of where to look for this game upcoming. And obviously Baylor has Sawyer Robertson as the quarterback, and I think that's going to be a key for the front seven and defensive line to get off to a hot start. Coach Freeze has talked about wanting to rotate defensive linemen as much as possible. Guys like Malik Blockton don't need to be playing 50 snaps a game. And I think if Auburn can find that depth at that defensive line spot, defensive tackle, defensive end, buck, wherever it is, then you're going to see that defense take the next step to be an elite defense. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm really excited to see it, especially in Waco.
And then Hillman, before, again, we let you go, we've continued to see some pictures and some videos and things of Auburn men's basketball getting back in action. And look, this team is almost completely brand new. Man, I saw a video of Tahat Pettiford who pulled up in where was that, downtown New York? Was that in Central Park where he was throwing down one-handed dunks and things? I mean, we don't know what this team's going to look like as a team, what the chemistry and the flow and how this team's going to operate. But just from an athleticism and exciting standpoint, we've mentioned this several times. It's hard not to get excited about what Auburn basketball could be come November.
I tell you what, Todd's turning into one of those iconic guys in the nation where, you know, young basketball players are constantly looking at him as someone that they want to emulate. They want to use him as inspiration and especially him as a lefty. So any left-handed hoopers out there, that he's kind of the guy to watch, especially if you want to be a point guard. But you're exactly right. The talent is off the charts for this basketball roster. Now, as you said, also it is it's going to take a lot for these guys to gel and come together and be as good as this team was last year. It's completely different, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because, again, I think that guys like Keyshawn Murphy and Keyshawn Hall coming from the high major level, they have done it at the high level as well as Kevin Overton. And then you drop down to the Division II level where a guy like Elijah Freeman, who just turned 18, he has so much development that he still has ahead of him that he could become one of the next great guard forward for the Tigers. And then you even look at the JUCO route where Abdul Bashir, he was the leading scorer in all junior college basketball. And then you have Emeka Oforum, who was one of the best rim protectors in junior college basketball. So this is the prototypical Bruce Pearl kind of roster where you've got your high major contributors like Overton, like Murphy, like Hall, and obviously Tahad returning for his sophomore season. But he's going to go and get some guys that might have been overlooked and not recruited as highly, and he's going to develop them. And that's not to mention the freshmen like Caden Magwood, Simon Walker, and Sebastian Williams Adams. So I think the talent is absolutely there. And obviously, you look at the exhibition matchups that are set up for the Tigers with Oklahoma State and Memphis, they're going to have the best test possible before it even gets started for real in November. So I think that's very important to realize as well, is that there's a realization of, all right, this team needs to figure it out earlier than later. As you're playing the toughest non-conference schedule in college basketball, you're facing Houston, who will probably be the preseason number one team, if it's not Purdue, who you just faced in December. But you're facing Houston early in November in Birmingham. So you need to be ready and set for that game so that you can go out and put your best foot forward.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Monday at 3:30 here on ESPN 106.7. And with football season right around the corner, Tiger Talk will have its initial show, their first of the year, this time next week. Hillman, we're a week away from the first edition of Tiger Talk. Tell people what they need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So excited for Tiger Talk to kick the season back off. Obviously, it'll be just following the start of the soccer season, as the Tigers will host Louisville on Thursday at the Auburn Soccer Complex and then Stanford on Sunday at 6 o'clock at the Auburn Soccer Complex. So we'll talk things over. We'll recap that with James Armstrong. We'll talk about, obviously, football season with Coach Hugh Freeze, and then it'll be Butch Thompson after Auburn baseball hosted first super regional ever at Plains and Park, just to talk about the success of that season and get you ready and geared up for the football season. Now, obviously, there will be another Tiger Talk before the football season gets started, but that's just the annual kickoff, and it'll be right on Wings 94.3 FM. So, again, just so excited for Tiger Talk season to get back underway, as well as football season and the other fall sports like cross country, like soccer, and like volleyball. So pumped to do it with the Auburn Sports Network.
Man, we appreciate you. Tons of good information from Hillman today. Always appreciate your time, my friend. Glad you're back in Auburn safely, and we're looking forward to a fun season.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us again every Monday, 3:30, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman. From the Auburn Sports Network. I mean, he had a boatload of information today, didn't he? All sorts of stuff to talk about. I mean, it's that time of year. Like we were saying, fall sports are here with the heat. He gave a shout-out to cross country. My man. He knows what's up. Cross country, the greatest sport on earth. Not really. I loved it sometimes, but... Anyway, so yeah, fall sports getting underway at Auburn, including football, which we have talked a lot about today, so we appreciate him hopping on the show as he does every Monday. We've talked about the newest AP poll, we've talked about Blue Bloods, we've talked about recruiting, we've talked about Auburn's offense, you know, being the worst in the history of the sport, according to some people. We've talked about the Auburn-Baylor drama. I mean, lots of good stuff on today's show, so if you missed any of it, you know where to go. You know where to find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. You can also find it wherever you get your podcasts, but easiest place to go, the best place to go is ESPNAU.com. You can also, from that website and that Radio Alabama app where all of our podcasts are as well, you can access our high school sports networks for Auburn High School and Lee Scott. That's important because we're less than 2 weeks away.
Man.
And so... that's where you need to be on Friday nights, bouncing back and forth, or put one on the computer, one on the phone, one on your Alexa, whatever the case may be. Just have both of them going at the same time.
And early on, you're on Thursday, I'm on Friday for a couple of them.
Yeah, week two and three, I'm on Thursday, you're on Friday. So you'll have a chance to listen to both of them throughout the its entirety. So who do you guys open up with, Lee Scott? It's a home opener?
Yeah, it's Alabama Christian Academy.
That's right. Yeah, ACA. I know that's who you guys played for baseball, right? In the postseason. I don't know much about their football program, but
we played Prattville Christian. That was
the playoff game. That was PCA. That's right. That's right.
It was basketball, but.
Anyway, so a team, at least a school that you're familiar with.
Yes.
So, yeah, Alabama Christian, you guys open up with at home for the season opener on the 22nd, Auburn High. We open up against the Booker Tornadoes on August 22nd, so we're excited for that at Duck Sanford Stadium, a newly turfed Duck Sanford Stadium. So excited to get in there and see that officially for the first time. So that'll be a lot of fun. I know they've put a lot of work into that and ran into some hiccups that were out of everybody's control, but that's just how things go sometimes.
It is artificial turf. Is not the real grass, right?
No, it's turf, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was turf before.
It was. I know they had to re-turf. I didn't know if they decided, because there's a bunch of football fields that are making that change just because of...
Going back
just because of the injuries that have happened with...
Yeah, that's fair.
Stuff, but...
No, it's being re-turfed. So, get to see that at the Duck next week, and really, really looking forward to that. And again, for our high school football, basketball, baseball coverage and things, it's where you need to be. But for football to start, Auburn High School, we're on Wings 94th. Our sister station next door. You'll hear the Donnie B. Morning Show over there. Layla's in the midday. John Garrett's in the afternoons. It's classic rock. And then Friday nights, we're on the air. Pre-game at 6:30, kickoff at 7 for Auburn High School football. And then Lee Scott Academy. You guys are on AU 100.3.
Yeah, myself and Rhett Chrome for Lee Scott Academy football. We're going to get it going, man. We are so excited for year two in the AHSAA. A new team, a bunch of new faces, but... still got to uphold that standard. 11 days. That's absolutely crazy to think about. 11 days until high school football gets started right over across the street from Judd Scott Field. Sorry, the music. That's on me.
Caught us off guard.
I did. Okay. It scared me. Scared me just a little bit.
Somebody in the text box on the way out says, please tell Uncle T-Bone to make an appearance soon. I have a feeling Uncle T-Bone will be in this studio at some point or other before it's all said and done.
Joke's on you. That was T-Bone that sent that text in.
Very well could be. Very well could be. Again, hey, go check out the show if you missed any of it. ESPNAU.com and the podcast center. We're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.